Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, "Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Then Paul stood up, and motioning with his hand said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it. Now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years, until Samuel the prophet, and afterward they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a savior, Jesus.' After John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, 'Who do you think I am? I am not he. But behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of the salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to their fathers, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus. As it is also written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken thus, 'I will give you the sure mercies of David.' Therefore, he also says in another Psalm, 'You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption.' For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you." Blessing and conflict at Antioch. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles, for so the Lord has commanded us. I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
We're continuing with our study of the Acts of Apostles. Today's sermon is based on the mission-focused church. Our preacher today is Brother Bayo Famonure.
The mission-focused church. Because the theme for the first quarter of this year, 2020, this church is the Acts of the Apostles. And we are sharing from the mission-focused church today. For us to get into the topic, I would like to read again Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to verse 3 only. Acts 13, 1 to 3. Acts chapter 13, beginning to read from verse 1 to verse 3. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, as Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As the ministers to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Let us pray. Holy Father, we thank you for the privilege to study your word and to gather together openly in your name. We are very grateful. And as we go into the world today, please open our eyes and grant us understanding. Let the entrance of your word give us light. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The vision God has for a church is that it is a change agent, an agent of transformation. A church, wherever it's located, is supposed to be a change agent and an agent of transformation for those who are members of that church and for the environment and the world in general. In John 20:21, as he was trying to go back to heaven after his physical ministration on earth, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." The same kind of measure of sending, same kind of commission he gave me to come and lay my life for people, the same I'm telling to go and do. And those who heard him that time understood very well. Many of them made their lives in spreading the gospel. In Matthew 28, verse 19, which you all know, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So a mission-focused church must have some basic qualities. God has helped us in this church, and we have done fairly well. But it's always room for improvement. So I'm going to mention about 7 main qualities today. Some of them may be here, some may not be here. So maybe all of them are even here, and we need to improve on them. Number one, we must have a good and solid foundation. The foundation of the Antioch church defines who they are. It defines them. Remember in Acts 11, we had the Antioch church. It was begun by persecuted Christians. They moved from different places. After Stephen was killed, they traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch. They were those who had encountered Jesus. They knew what it meant to follow this man. And they stood their ground, and they were persecuted, and they took flight to different places. Not to go and rest, but to go and preach the word. So the foundation of the church must be those who have experienced Jesus. It's not a club, not a society. So anybody within a church that hasn't experienced Jesus as a personal savior is just an outsider, not a member. Because membership comes from the knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Savior. In that Acts 11, we were told that in verse 19, we were persecuted Christians. They were also going to about preaching the word. They didn't preach their experience, their persecutions. No, they preached the word of God. If they didn't know the word, they would not preach it. A solid foundation means that we have taken time to know the word of God. We have studied it. Many years ago, when the scripture began to make waves in Nigeria, they kept teaching that the word is a light. You must study the word. Quiet time. When you wake up, read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible and pray. If you want to grow. In fact, we are taught no Bible, no quiet time, no breakfast. It was mandated, it was very important for us to go into the Word. That is how we can grow. So they preached the Word because they knew the Word. They are thinking of foundations now. He said, the first quality is that a mission-focused church must have a sound and solid foundation in the Word of God. In verse 20, we were told that they were culturally relevant disciples. They were from different parts of the world. Different tribal groups were there. Cyprus, Syrian, and the Grecians. They were there. Like the VFC. Different tribes in Nigeria, we are here together. Bound together by the word of God, that we love Jesus. Then you know, notice that they preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from him, no other way. No way to make heaven. In verse 21, God backed them up. Because we are told the hand of the Lord was with them. A great number believed and turned unto the Lord. As these disciples moved together to witness about Jesus, many turned to Jesus and formed the church of Antioch. God backed them up. And that brought mass conversions. Many turned to the Lord. That church in Antioch has such a good testimony that as far as Jerusalem, they had the news that something is happening here. When God is moving in a place, the news goes very far. People come here almost every Sunday as new members because they have heard that God is here. And the more they hear that kind of thing, the more they will come. If a church is not growing in number, that means they are deficient in exploits. That means that they are deficient in their knowledge of God. That means they are not growing because church is not a monument, it's a movement. Because a monument, it will die. It has to be a movement. When they heard about it in Jerusalem, they sent people, leaders, to go and help them. People like Barnabas. In verse 22, the tidings came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent for Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And there was a good follow-up. A good follow-up for that church. Barnabas said that the work was beyond all he could give. They went to look for somebody who could assist him, who had a gift of teaching, somebody he had met recently. One man called Saul, who became Paul, and brought him. And we are told they were there for some time, a whole year. They stayed and taught the people. That is why the disciples were called Christians for the first time in Antioch. They were taught the word of God. They became so much like Jesus that people referred to them as little Christ, Christians. When a church has a solid foundation, the members reflect the glory of Jesus. You don't need a badge to say Jesus, I'm a Christian. No, they will just see it. You will know that this person has a kindred spirit with you. From the beginning, it was a Christian church. Not a club, not a society. They made a clear decision to stand with God. We don't have to be like others. But it must be what God called us to be. Different. Apostle Peter got it very well in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to verse 10. 1 Peter 2, 9 to 10. There we read, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." We are different. We are meant to be different. Peculiar people. We had obtained mercy from the Lord. Whatever we in the past, they become irrelevant. Because it says that all things are passed away. All things have become new. This morning I was reading a story in a hotel room of one of these true gospel publications. A senator gave me his testimony. He said, "I was very bad, but Jesus changed me. I was very bad, but Jesus changed me." Anybody who wants to belong to a solid church, a mission-focused church, must have that testimony. "Once I was blind, now I can see." There must be a change in that person's life. that I'm not going this way again. I'm following the path of the cross. God will help us in Jesus' name. Many things challenge us in our lives to move to different paths. Problems, challenges, sicknesses. The world is full of problems. And we look for different ways to sort them out. Financial challenges, health challenges, children, parents, different things. But the Bible says, Jesus said unto us, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. It's a promise. I will give you rest. Whatever it is that brought you here today, whatever you came along with, the burdens you can't share with everybody, God sees those burdens. And he's saying, he will give you rest in Jesus' name. The second thing you notice about this church, I said seven things. Second thing is that they were properly schooled in the word. They were properly taught the word of God. Not just preaching ministry, but they were taught. The Bible says that Saul, who became Paul, and Barnabas, they taught them for a whole year. And you could see that as they were being taught, a lot of things happened within them. They knew the power of prayer, the power of fasting. They were poorly taught. Some of them were prophets, some of them were teachers. And that's my third point. It was a gifted church. A mission-focused church must be a gifted church. Must be a gifted church. Where are you exhibiting the gifts of the Holy Spirit? There are prophets, there are pastors, there will be teachers, there will be evangelists, there will be apostles who are trailblazers going to different places. That's a mission-focused church, a gifted church. I was in a church many years ago, in Makuri in Benue State. I was a preacher in that chapel. And I sat down, and I was worshiping. Beautiful worship time. I enjoyed the worship so much, I said that there was no point preaching again. In fact, I was just sitting down there. Nobody referred to me. Then, suddenly, as we were worshiping, a prophet stood up. He said, "Thus said the Lord, there is somebody in this church service this morning who didn't want to come. Just struggled to be here because of one splitting headache. That person is here now. As we are worshiping God, he got healed. To come and testify." Other person came here with stomach ache. He's still having it as I'm speaking. When I sit down, to go. To come and testify. Third person is a girl who has given her life to Christ before, but living in sin up till now. Different men, here and there. She should not come out, but she will repent. If not, God said she will take her away very soon. And he sat down. I was a preacher. I had not done anything. God was moving in different ways. Preacher had finished his job. The prophet had finished his job, I mean. Then another came and said, "Well, you heard the word of God. Give God the glory." One man came out. I had a stomach ache. Another one had a headache. And this girl came out. She was told not to come out. I knew I was told not to come out. I want to come out. I'm tired of myself. Beautiful little sister, she was crying. So elders went and held her. Held her, put her in the middle, and they held her, and you could see tears in their eyes. Let's pray for her sister. The entire church began to cry. Not for that girl, but for themselves. At that point, God told all of us where you are doing wrong. He who has no sin, cast the first stone. It was a very beautiful experience for me. By then they called to come and preach, the work had finished already. I just exhorted them, encouraged them. A gifted church is a gift. A sound church is a gifted church. Right, but it's been given to the Holy Spirit very freely. God will help us in Jesus' name. Number four, was it a praying and fasting church? I don't know how they did it here. He said in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Was it announced for all of them to fast? I don't know. But the church was fasting. And they were ministering to the Lord. You know, everybody involved in church service must see it as a ministry to the Lord. I was told by some Hebrew scholars that when the sons of Asaph be worshiping the Lord in the temple, they'll be singing and worshiping the Lord. Audience will come in, finish and go away, they will continue. Sometimes you think they are the only ones there because they were worshiping the Lord. Not just singing for the audience. It was unto God. And God will possess them as they worship Him. They were fasting. And maybe that's a place for us to have solemn assembly, to have fasting, to have prayer. To be a missionary church. A church on a mission. Mission-focused church. Praying and fasting church. Number five, was a listening church and an obedient church. It could be very busy doing many things and not hear God speaking. But they heard God saying, separate unto me Paul, Barnabas, and Saul. Because I have a work for them. We had a missionary many years ago. We were sitting at base in Canada. We had to go to the Dominican Republic. And I said, you cannot go. I mean, you are the only one. You can't send me a look to the Dominican Republic. We need some funds to send you there. After some months, the thing I met me said, when I was studying today, I understood where I couldn't go to the gym. I said, yeah, thank God. Why? I was happy to hear him. He said, because I read in Acts 13 that the elders were fasting and praying. So God spoke to them. I have not seen you fasting. I just eating. If you are not fasting, how will God speak to you that you go to the gym? They actually are fasting. They won't announce it. And the pastor said that they are not going yet. He went eventually, and God used him mightily there till God took him home. He went. Listening and obedient church. They were obedient because God told them, separate unto me, Barnabas and Saul. These were their leaders. They are teachers. Let them go for missions. Like churches who have senior pastors, junior pastors, senior apostles, all those things. All the leaders go to mission and spend and leave others here. Difficult. I know some of my friends who ran churches many, many years when I was still much younger. They said they won't allow me in their church again. I said, why? But when you come and you preach about missions, you pack all our Sunday school teachers. They follow you. They won't let you come again. As they go out like that, others come to be raised up. That's how God does it. Number six, they were a giving church. They gave their best men. You don't go on that kind of mission without support. They had the money to back them up. That church, number seven, was a going church, a sending agency. An agency. I was given just 30 minutes and instead of keep that time. I want to just quickly run through 9 challenges we can draw from this experience of the Antioch Church. Some of the challenges are what we are doing already, so just to remind us. Number one, there should be proper Bible teaching. In a church like ours here, to teach the word of God, raw, the way it is. Not just doctrinal issues after a particular church or doctrines of the devil. Number two, that's a vision casting. People come here almost every Sunday as new. Do they know the vision of this church? If you have it sometimes, we do vision casting. Like I said, hey, we are doing all these things. I'm just reminding us. We say, this is where we are BCF, EFC. Where we began from. This is where we intend to go. What's the plan to do? How we are doing it? So everybody can be carried along. Number three, vision prayers as part of church service can be very helpful. Just 5 minutes to take an eligible group and pray for them. It can carry the entire church and make them a mission-focused church. They are praying for different original groups. And throughout that week in their houses, they are praying for that original group. Number four, all-inclusive outreach. All of us come together to go on outreach, all-inclusive. Somebody said, if you cannot go across the streets, that no mandate to go across the seas. You cannot go across the streets. We have no mandate to go across the seas. There are people around us, offices, mechanic workshops. Just a word, you'll be surprised. Just a tract, they will respond. Taxi driver, Uber driver. What a great testimony. I was driving, I was going on a journey in Lagos here. I took a bus, and it felt like preaching. I didn't know how to do it. We were just there in that bus, and Dr. Ducking, he called the conductor. He said, you can tell people that somebody has paid their transfer fare. Went to San Antonio, how happy they clapped. They didn't mention his name. He said, well, let us pray for that person who paid a transfer fare. Yes, it's true, let's pray. We pray for them, for that person, and then pray for all of them, and pray about the word of God. In fact, by the time he was coming down, he had all prayed to receive Christ. I won't say by force, but he did. And when he was coming down, they were looking at pastor, bye-bye. It wasn't a pastor. The pastor, thank you. Pastor, thank you. And we don't have to use that method every time. But it shows that people are there who want to hear. And they can listen just for us to stretch out. All the songs we learned in our high school days, training hours. Be with some soul today. And thinking, Lord, what does to say? Just what to say. Lead me to some soul today and teach me, Lord, just what to say for the Psalms. Number five, mission prayer bulletin. We will ask our mission group to create a WhatsApp group for our members to share mission points, prayer bulletins, weekly. So we carry the entire church along in our missions enterprise. Number six, consistent visit by missionaries. They come here once in a while, 3 minutes, 5 minutes testimony, not even preaching, to get to know what they are doing. Our church here is involved with so many missions, supporting them, helping them, partnering with them. They can come once in a while if they are around here in particular and share with us. Number seven, visit to mission fields. Visit mission fields. Not just the mission group only, but the entire church. I remember talking in Lawrence, DMCA. We went to visit Koma Hills, Mumuye tribe, not Koma Hills, Mumuye tribe. And the men said they will go. We got the coast of the bus, and about 18 men were there. They were all married, so compulsorily, without any announcement, the women were in the church, praying for their husbands. And the women's friends joined them too. They were praying every day. Because that journey was not very easy, even that time. Mumuye tribe was not opened up that time by Capro. Now it is opened, and they are doing very well, but it was a very primitive tribe at that stage. They went there and came back with testimonies. With the church praying. What is the move? Number 8. A church can send members out as missionaries. Through mission agencies, or if you want to add ourselves, number 9, they can adopt missionaries. On any agency, that was our missionary. Now I think we're adopting mutual agencies, which is very good. We can pick one or two as a missionary, and we adopt them. As we close with prayers, I want to encourage us, in closing, to examine our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Things around us show that time is very much against us. If we thought Christ's coming was very close 5 years ago, but it is so close now. Many years ago, we had a magazine called 2 Minutes to Midnight. Even the science agency, atomic agency, they had a magazine called 2 Minutes to Midnight. Now it's less than 3 seconds to midnight. It's so close. In fact, I think God had to do a fast one a few weeks ago. He had to just calm the tensions. We will have entered the Third World War by now. When America killed that Iranian general, was a top general. The money. And Iran retaliated. That backfired on them. They brought that plane down. And in the plane were about 81 Iranians who died. Things were getting hot. And of course, Russia was moving to back Iran up. The European countries were moving to back America up. China was moving to back Iran up. And that are the things that God has written in the Bible. Gog and Magog and ancient Babylon. The final conflict. And I said, I will be there so soon. Armageddon is coming. But God had to calm me down. Why? I think for the sake of many who are here to repent, a little more time for them to get to know Him. God will help us in Jesus' name. As we pray this morning, let's ask ourselves, are we in the faith? Is our love for God strong enough to withstand the coming challenges by many of them? Ask yourself, are you giving your life to Jesus? If you're a Christian and you have been gifted, are you using your gift for Jesus? You are bearing your gift. And for those among us who have been having some talking in the spirit, go out and serve the Lord. Am I obeying the Lord? Am I disobedient? Let us pray. Let's spend time talk to God on our own. And just as God draws nearer Him, closer to Him, help us to know Him more. In drawing close to God, those burdens will fall off your shoulders. He Himself will lift them up. But the way is to go close to the cross. And the Lord have come. Just help me. While we are praying, I want the choir to please sing for us, in the cross, be my glory forever. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. While we pray together.
Yeah.
In the cross.